I'm Jonathan Polevsky from WBJC, and this is a Baltimore Symphony podcast for Beethoven's Fourth Piano Concerto. It may not sound like much, but in these five bars, there is a revolution going on. It's a quiet revolution, or as they would say where I come from, une révolution tranquille, but it's a revolution nonetheless. Let's talk about the origins of the Fourth Piano Concerto, and then we'll come back to its magical, mysterious opening. When Beethoven arrives in Vienna in 1792, aged 22, it's as a pianist that he first makes his mark. He doesn't tickle the ivories as Mozart or Haydn did. He pounds them, often into submission. Beethoven's early training as an organist must have given him a unique approach to the keyboard, and the constant development of the piano toward louder and more robust instruments definitely favored his style of playing. He dashes off two concertos by 1800 and a third by 1803, and they're all well-received, as they're written in the Mozart-slash-Haydn manner, but supersized a la Beethoven. They're louder and bangier, full of sforzandos or musical explosions. What could possibly go wrong? Mozart wrote 27 concertos in a very short life of 35 years. Why do we only have five concertos from Beethoven, who lived more than 20 years longer? Beginning in 1795, our young wunderkind who's conquering Vienna begins to notice symptoms of deafness. At first he figures it will pass. Later he consults physicians who provide no relief. And finally, after 1802, he resigns himself to the fact that he has a lasting malady that is probably incurable. Most of us would have thrown in the towel, called it a day, taken up some other career, become an accountant. No way, not L.V. Beethoven. Along with his infirmity, he realized something else. He came to understand that he had something to say, and as long as he was able, he was going to say it. He emerges from the darkness into a period of intense creativity, known for good reason as the heroic period. Okay, it's also called his middle period, but that's so much less dramatic. It begins with the Eroica Symphony, the third. In quick succession comes the opera Fidelio, then known as Leonora, the oratorio Christ on the Mount of Olives, the violin concerto, the triple concerto, all three Razumovsky string quartets, the fourth piano concerto, and symphonies 4, 5, and 6. The fourth piano concerto was begun in 1805 and finished the following year. The first performance happened at the home of Beethoven's patron, Prince Lobkowitz, in March of 1807. The first public performance took place on December 22, 1808, at the Theater an der Wien. On that fateful evening, Beethoven was given the theater to put on a concert for his own benefit. Having written so much music, he decided to program many of his new compositions and a few of his older ones, and the program went something like this. First half, Symphony No. 6, Pastoral, a concert aria called A Perfido for soprano solo and orchestra. After that, Gloria from the Mass in C major for vocal soloists, chorus, and orchestra. And the half finished with Beethoven's Fourth Piano Concerto with Beethoven as soloist. In part two, the Symphony No. 5, the Sanctus from the Mass in C major, Beethoven extemporized a fantasia for solo piano. And finally, as if the evening needed a grand finale, a choral fantasy for piano soloist, vocal soloists, chorus, and orchestra. All in all, it came to about 4 hours of music, most of it brand new. There were two other factors that made the evening problematic. One, the best players in town were across town playing at another concert, and two, the theater was unheated and therefore freezing cold. The composer Johann Friedrich Reichardt was most fortunate to attend the concert in Prince Lobkowitz's box. He said, "There we sat in the bitter cold from 6:30 until 10:30, and confirmed for ourselves the maxim that one may easily have too much of a good thing." Concertos are the most theatrical pieces in the symphonic repertoire, and like all theater, they're based on conventions. We expect our soloists to enter with a conductor, and they should look fabulous. There's nothing more annoying than a male soloist who walks on stage in a tuxedo that should have been condemned years ago. If it's a piano concerto, we expect them to sit down, spend too much time adjusting the height of the bench, and give the conductor a nod when they're ready to begin. As concertos are written in double exposition form, the orchestra is to begin their exposition, and after about 2 minutes of music, the pianist will make his or her grand entrance and play theirs. Imagine the shock of the audience on December 22nd, 1808, when the concerto began not with the orchestra, but with this. One would think that the opening of a concerto by Beethoven would be virtuosic, but instead, if it's anything, it's hymn-like. The other incredible thing is that after five bars, the piano disappears and the orchestra has their exposition by itself. The other amazing thing about this concerto is how the orchestra answers the piano. The piano states the opening and central theme in the key of G major, the movement's home key, and then the orchestra answers almost as an echo, but in the distant key of B major. My friends, mes petits amis, G major and B major are not friends. They don't go to the same clubs. They don't socialize. They don't belong together. However, the orchestra and its exposition soon finds its way to the proper key of G and celebrates the opening theme. The second theme for this concerto begins in the remote key of A minor, but it too will eventually find G major. Finally, the closing theme of the orchestra is a wonderfully noble piece of pure Beethoven. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the piano soloist has been cooling his heels, looking up at the ceiling and wondering if he or she is ever going to get to play a note. When we do meet the piano, it both finishes the orchestral exposition and starts its own. The piano will expound on the orchestra's themes, and Beethoven even adds a new theme for the piano and orchestra into the mix. Time precludes us from exploring the development. Oh, the heck with it. Here are the piano and orchestra exploring theme one. And as sonata form works with an exposition, a development, and a recapitulation, here's what happens when Beethoven comes back home for the recapitulation and reinvents his soft and sweet opening hymn. The second movement is one of Beethoven's most interesting concepts. It's often been compared to Orpheus taming the Furies. He pits a very severe orchestra made up of only strings playing in unison . Note how hollow and frankly angry they sound against a piano who is desperately trying to tame them. The movement is quite short, almost an interlude between the outer movements, and is quite unique in the concerto repertoire. There's no pause between the second and third movements, and Beethoven frankly gives us a bit of virtuosic fun. Trumpets and drums enter for the first time, and we are sent home feeling all is right with the world. So we ask ourselves once again, what's great about Beethoven's fourth piano concerto? One, Beethoven manages to reinvent double exposition form in a way that it had never been done before. The revolution, however, is so subtle that you're not even sure it has taken place before it has won you over. Two, the idea for the second movement is completely original and unlike anything Beethoven had ever done before, a supplicant melodic piano versus angry unison strings. Three, the balance and collaboration between piano and orchestra creates a fluid world where both the individual soloist and the collective orchestra can flourish and express themselves. Permit me two more things. First, Beethoven's performance on December 22, 1809 was his last public performance as pianist. Though he would write one more piano concerto, he was unable, due to the deterioration of his hearing, to play the solo part. Second, after its premiere, this amazing masterpiece, which is the fourth piano concerto, was not heard until after Beethoven's death in 1827. I'm Jonathan Polevsky from WBJC, and this has been a Baltimore Symphony Orchestra podcast for Beethoven's fourth piano concerto.